At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm Erica Worth, and welcome to this festive edition of the Pianist Podcast. We've been taking a look back at our podcasts to date. That's 22 inspiring episodes. And we have decided to re-release the episode with someone who is much admired by pianist readers. That's our very own Graham Fitch. If you missed his conversation with me some months back, here it is again. And it's full of priceless advice for aspiring players. That was an excerpt from Czerny's Variations on a Theme by Rode, and it was played by Graham Fitch. I'm Erica Worth, and welcome to this Pianist Podcast. Today, I am catching up with a highly respected pianist and teacher, Graham Fitch. Graham, it's great to have you on this podcast today.
Lovely to see you, Erica, and to be here with you.
You're very welcome. Many listeners, of course, will know you for your amazing masterclasses in Pianist Magazine and your amazing video lessons from Steinway Hall in London. But I'm sure they'd like to hear about your background as a pianist.
Ah, my background as a pianist. Yes, well, I started quite late by most standards in my early teens. We didn't have a piano at home, but I was desperate to play. So from the very early years, I can remember going up to neighbors' homes who had pianos, and my grandfather had a piano. And I'd sit there, instead of playing out in the street like most kids, I would just sit there for ages and experiment on the pianos. And I realized that all of music could come out of those 88 notes, but I just didn't know how to find the music. And then it took a while for me to get lessons. And as soon as I started lessons, I was completely single-minded and ended up, you know, going to the Royal College of Music in the late 70s and, you know, ended up winning the, a very nice piano competition at the Royal College of Music, the second prize in the Chapel Gold Medal. And then I ended up on a Fulbright scholarship to America, and I had a year at Peabody studying with Anne Shine, who most wonderful pianist. And then I ended up weekly in Leon Fleisch's class, which was one of the highlights of my musical education. And as you know, I went from Baltimore to New York to do a master's degree, which is where we met.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? All those years ago, we met in the lobby of Manhattan School of Music, where we were both studying.
Yes, happy days. I was only there for a year. I think you'd just come over from London, hadn't you?
Yes.
And we had very many happy memories of chatting and, you know, then connecting at the Manhattan School of Music.
That's right. And I think at some point we both had the same teacher.
Yes. I mean, I studied there with Nina Svetlanova for a number of years. Yes. When I look back, I ended up as one of her teaching assistants at Manus College of Music. But Nina was quite an influence on me. Yeah, absolutely. And her influence, you know, she passed away, as you know, a couple of years ago, but her legacy, it lives on in her students, and which is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. Many have gone on to do great things. It's wonderful. I mean, your teachers, You've had some amazing, amazing, amazing teachers. And now you yourself are a teacher, and you teach all different types of pianists. Tell us how you became a teacher yourself, and how much you love it, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it is my vocation to be a teacher. It always was. I can remember being interviewed for the Peabody Conservatory magazine, I think it was, or newsletter. I'd won a competition there, and they asked me, you know, what my ambitions were, and I always wanted to be a teacher. I thought it was one of the most fantastic things to be a piano teacher. So it's in my blood to do that. So that was, I started, I think, when I was in my late teens, teaching in the neighborhood, I suppose, and then started to get a reputation as a teacher and ended up teaching specialist pianists at the Purcell School. This was when I'd got back from America, got back from New York. So I was teaching specialists at the Purcell School, and nowadays I'm working not only with specialists, I work with a lot of piano teachers who want to up their game, and I also love to work with adult amateurs.
Yeah, I mean that's such a broad spectrum there of the types of pianists that you teach. Tell us about your involvement then in dealing with teachers, teaching teachers. Is that the piano teachers course?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. So the Piano Teachers Course UK is, I can't praise it enough. If there are any piano teachers out there who want a little bit of a refresher, or if there are any people who want to learn teaching skills, then the Piano Teachers Course UK is the place to go. It's a, how do I describe, part-time course that has a couple of, maybe two or three now, residential weekends. It happens to take place at the Purcell School, but there are also online, you know, components. And it's a rigorous course, but there's a lot of attention given to each. We don't call them students, we call them tutees. So I did that for a number of years and then backed down a little bit, and I'm now a guest tutor. So I go in a couple of times a year and talk about my special subjects, which are practicing, memorization. What else do I do there? Baroque period, we have a harpsichord there and we explore a little bit. I also tutor the Romantic period, pedaling. So there's a lot of input into the piano teacher's course, but it's also piano teachers who know me will come for lessons with me and discuss teaching as well as their own playing. They pick my brains about, you know, how to teach this particular thing, or how to teach pedaling. So it comes up in not only on the piano teacher's course, but also in my private lessons.
That's amazing. I mean, you're obviously so dedicated to being a teacher. Why didn't you go on the path of the performer?
You know, it's a very good question. I have done enough performing in my life, a high profile performance in various, you know, on various continents. And I think a lot of it has to do with having the stomach for it, the temperament for that. And as I've got older, I realized I have less and less interest in putting myself, you know, out on a concert stage too often. I mean, I do play, and I, you know, every year we'll do something. It's just that when you're teaching at a high level and you don't really have as much time to practice as you would wish, a little foolhardy to then, you know, present yourself with big solo programs. I have done this in the past, and I feel like I can now do a little bit of playing, but I dedicate myself now to my teaching, my writing, various other things, other projects that are piano related.
I mean, when you see, absolutely, you've got to be so dedicated as a performer. You and I, before we got on air, we're talking about piano competitions, like at the moment the Cliburn is going on and the Queen Elizabeth. I mean, these students, how do they do it? I mean, you need that phenomenal all-round mindset as well. I mean,
Yes, you know what I think what it is, Erica? It's a combination of neurology, you know, the words, what people would call technique, but it's more the absorption of music, because you'd have to learn a huge amount of repertoire, and you have to learn it quickly most of the time, and you have to learn it thoroughly. That's one thing. Having the confidence to produce that, and you know, on a regular basis under pressure, that's another thing. And having the passion to actually sit at the instrument for hours a day and sacrifice other things. So I don't think people choose to be concert pianists. I think it chooses you.
I totally agree. You have to want, and you have to want to do it more than anything. I mean, the dedication. But anyway, going on to you and your teaching, you have, of course, your own online academy. Yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Right. Well, many years back, I decided I...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I wanted to write a blog because I thought there's a lot being talked about mechanics of piano playing, you know, what people call technique. But for me, technique is a much bigger area. Technique embraces practice know-how, practice method. So I wrote a blog called Practicing the Piano and started to publish that. And it got quite a lot of attention fairly early on. And then I teamed up with a former student, and we set up the online academy, which aimed and still aims to be the ultimate resource for pianists, piano teachers. And we've now got a team of experts who we work with. So the online academy is jam-packed with video walkthroughs of repertoire, with articles, with workshops and classes, and it's really got very big. So we have quite a lot of subscribers who are very dedicated to what we're doing and join in on our online workshops and events. Mm. Have access to a huge library of resources we built up gradually over the last, I've forgotten exactly how long, but it's about a decade.
Mm-hmm. And obviously it's very trustworthy, because I mean a lot of online lessons you're not quite sure, but you know, with you at the helm, Graham Fitch the famous at the helm, one should trust this.
Oh well, we've got people like Fred Karpoff and William Wesney and Lucinda Mackworth Young. We've got lots of people who have entrusted us with their work effectively, and we've now got this. It's an online platform, it's a digital platform, and it's very in depth. You know, if you want to discover, for example, how to cover jumps at the keyboard, this is just one example that comes to me, there's a huge amount of information on there that is clearly described in video form, so you don't have to wade through great text. A lot of it is video based. Then you can watch it over and over again, and it's, some of them are fairly long, the videos, but usually carved up into, you know, chunks that are easily digestible.
That's good, because I mean, learning the piano, you really do need that visual thing, you know, you have to see.
Yes, and we don't aim to be a substitute for a teacher. So I would stress that there's no substitute for a one-on-one teacher, but we're in the 21st century, you know, digital resources are all over the place. And so with that, we do contribute to that, you know, area. And I think what we offer is a supplement to a teacher.
Totally understand. I mean, let's talk about your videos and articles for Pianist magazine. I mean, you've done so many, I don't know how many years you've been doing those, but the viewings of... Oh, it's years and years and years, but the viewings of your videos on the Pianist Magazine YouTube channel and YouTube in general, hundreds of that, well, thousands, over 100,000 on some of them. Why do you think they're so popular?
Goodness. Well, I'm glad that they are popular. I often do get emails from people saying how much it's helped them that watching a particular video. I think maybe people find that what I'm saying is clearly presented. So there's a certain clarity that I think comes across there. And I sometimes look at the com well, I very often look at the comments and people say that I demonstrate a lot. So I'm not just talking and I'm demonstrating. And I like to think that I'm presenting the information that will actually help people to solve problems or to gain access to a little bit more depth in their practice, because practice is so often neglected in piano lessons. Teachers
Yeah.
don't tell students how to practice, you know.
Absolutely. And I can tell, I sit there and I watch you in live in person, and I can tell you've really prepared for them. And some of those demonstrations that you do are pretty hard. I mean, you've obviously really taken a lot of thought into it and prepared.
Well, you know what's the most challenging about that? It's having to talk and then play, and then often one thing kind of overlaps, so I'll be playing and talking. So, you know, my full concentration really ought to be on the playing when I'm playing, but it's often not. It's often on what it is that I'm wanting to illustrate. So that would be the challenge for me.
Oh, very interesting. Yes, you're right. No, they're really fantastic, and I urge listeners to delve in and watch them all the way back. But again, another thing that you do is you're a tutor at some of the big piano courses in the UK, abroad. Obviously, very important to you as well. If you could tell us a bit about those.
Yes, well, so the ones that I do on a regular basis, Finchcocks, which is the most amazing place, a 300 or 300 year old stately home in Kent, with the most quirky rooms, but luxury. It's a real luxurious piano course, and it's, you know, lots of different pianos, but everybody has their own grand piano to practice on for the weekend or for the week. We do long courses there as well. And that course attracts, as do the others, the one at Stowe. This is the summer school for pianists. And now the newest one, which is not now that new, we've been running for 4 years in Blonay in Switzerland. Most beautiful place is Switzerland, most generous hospitality and gorgeous surroundings. And
That's
that's
wonderful. Yeah, you've just come back from there, haven't you?
You've just done one, and that attracts people from all over Europe. The course happens, it takes place in English. I mean, we speak English, but there's a lot of French speakers and German speakers there. And pianists from, amateur pianists who are incredibly serious about what they're doing, who they may be a lot of medical people we find on piano courses. And they just really dedicated to their piano playing, and they come together to share that and also to work with me in class formats. I don't like the word master class, but
Oh.
performance workshops, you know, where we discuss the music, we discuss practice method, we discuss how to improve the playing of a particular piece, and we're all sitting around in a group. These are all relatively small, you know, setups. We can't have too many people on. It's about maximum 12.
Sounds fantastic. How often is Blonay then, the Switzerland course?
So yes, Blonay is twice a year. We do one in the spring and one in the autumn, and they get booked up really quite far in advance. And you know, you can read about all of these on my website, grahamfitch.com.
Brilliant. And with these people, do you liaise with them afterwards? Do they drop you an email saying, I'm having a problem with this? And do you stay in touch with your students or?
Yes, well, we usually have the same group come back. We, you know, they come back each year, but we do have a WhatsApp group. You know, I've got many of them now from various piano courses, WhatsApp groups, and
Brilliant.
there's lots of sharing of photos and memories and discussions and yes, and then if there's something I have mentioned on a course, they will WhatsApp me and say, "Oh, you mentioned such and such. Can you tell? Can you share a link?" And so I will then share a link. It could just be, you know, a publication or an idea. So there's a community from the well the summer school for pianists at Stowe
Yes.
running for 40 years.
Wait a
So
minute.
it feels like a family. There's one particular lady that's I think been coming every single year for 40 years who still comes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And so you meet up with people that you see each summer, the same people come back and we get new people as well. And it's the most wonderful feeling of, like a piano family. That's how I would describe it, these kids.
How absolutely wonderful. What a wonderful way to spend a holiday or spare time. I mean, what a great hobby for these people.
Yes, and I would say that it's more than a hobby. It's a passion that is just as important to them as breathing air. Music, as we both know, we couldn't live without music, could we?
No.
It's part of our nourishment. And so people who do this on an amateur basis often have more passion for their playing than professionals who, if there's more at stake if you're a professional, and you tend to get a bit more jaded, I think. But if you're an amateur, you keep that passion stays alive, and the love for music and the commitment to practicing, yeah, very much.
Do you find that though that there are people there that have been very highly trained in
Yes.
music school, could be somebody like myself who hasn't, who now doesn't take it as seriously, have dropped, spent some years away from the keyboard, but they were so well trained. Do you find when they come back and they study with you that they find it frustrating that they weren't as good as they used to be?
Now that's a really good question. We do get, one thing I would say is that we get a real mixture of ages and levels at the piano courses, and it's absolutely fine if somebody doesn't feel that they're super confident to play late Beethoven sonatas. They don't have to. They can bring shorter pieces. But to get back to your question, we often do get people on the courses who clearly, at the age of 18, when they had to make a decision whether to do music or something else, made what I would call a more sensible decision, not to devote their career to being a pianist, but could have done. They had very good training, and some of them are superb. Yes, absolutely. But I don't know that they would be frustrated so much because they've kept their playing going. Years, they may be high-flying medical people, surgeons, doctors, psychiatrists, lawyers, but who still manage to find time to devote to their piano playing and always have done.
That is amazing. Good on them. I mean, wow. But you also adjudicate at festivals.
Yes, this is one of the happiest memories of my early days as a piano student. As a teenager, the British and International Federation of Festivals run festivals throughout the country where you get to perform on a nice grand piano in front of a professional adjudicator with a built-in audience, not just for kids, also adults can do this. And I had some of my most positive memories from being a participant. So when it came time for me to, the shoe was on the other foot, I really wanted to be able to give back a little bit. And so I do usually one festival a year, adjudication. And most recently, I did the Oxford Festival, most beautifully run festival. Dedicated teachers put their pupils in, and I heard some fantastic piano playing. And it was just a total joy to be doing this. So yes, I love doing my adjudication.
I think actually that's most probably how I got into loving the piano so much, because I used to do the Nottingham Fest, the Nottingham Music and Drama Festival, which I don't think is anymore actually. But I think it's so good for people to do it, because if they win, they feel fantastic. It's something to work towards, isn't it? When you're starting the piano.
Absolutely. And it's if you think about the alternatives are examinations, which have associations of, being a bit scary. But a festival is a performance. So you're actually performing to a room full of people. And you get wonderful feedback from the adjudicator. It's a very positive experience for everybody. Yes, I think we both seem to have happy memories of our Festivals.
Yes, it's very supportive, absolute supportive environment. But you're such a busy person doing all of this. Do you find the time to practice and perform yourself? I mean, obviously, no, you've decided to, you really want to spend most of your time teaching, but obviously you need to practice still, don't you?
Oh yes. Well, for example, I'm performing Schubert's Winterreise this summer, so I'm busy working on that with the singer. I until fairly recently did a chunky recital every year, a full solo recital, and I've been known to get how many performances of the Goldberg Variations have I given over the years? I've lost count, but it must be about 20, 30, maybe even more. And so, I have done all of this, concerto playing, chamber music, and I still do quite a lot of practice because, I'm recording videos that require me to do walkthroughs of pieces, so I have to know these pieces. And of course, I'd love to get to the piano and play and do a bit of practice as often as I can. It's just that I haven't got hours a day to be doing that. So, yeah.
Do you ever think, oh God, this piece, I just have to learn it. Why haven't I learned it yet?
Oh, there's so much. If I had a, let's say I had a sabbatical year, which won't happen, but if I did, then there's repertoire that I would just love to.
Come on, tell me about.
Oh goodness. Well, I always wanted to learn the Hammerklavier. Never got it. I've taught it a couple of times, so I never learned it. And that would be a massive kind of, immersion project. And maybe one of the books of the Well-Tempered Clavier, just to immerse myself in that for a while. But the amount of time that would take,
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do my other work.
No, you're absolutely right. A sabbatical sounds wonderful. But what I'm going to do ask you now, and I think I have the answer to one of them. I think I know your answer. I'm going to ask you a couple of little light-hearted questions off the cuff, and just I'd like to know what your answers will be. So the first one is, if you could play only one composer from now on, who would it be?
Right. I mean, my first response would be Bach, because I don't think you ever get bored, or there's so much room for creativity, and the music itself is jaw-dropping genius in terms of its construction, that I'm often just amazed when I look at a score of Bach. How did he do it? And how did he do everything that he did? But it would be very difficult not to add Chopin to that list as well. And I love Schumann's music. I mean, I'm so passionate about Schumann. But if I had to have one, it would probably be Bach.
I know it's a silly question, really, isn't it? It is a, yeah, and because every day we have different tastes, don't we? It's just like food. One day it's Chopin, the next it's Schumann, it's
Exactly.
yeah. So okay then. One pianist, dead or alive, you travel long and far to hear.
Well, of course, Sokolov is unbelievable. And of the past, Ignaz Friedman, I think, is some of the most incredible piano playing. The late E flat Chopin Nocturne. I'm talking to your listeners now. If you haven't heard that recording of the E flat Nocturne, you can find it on YouTube. It's absolutely breathtaking piano playing and amazing piano playing too. So,
What's special about it?
oh, it's magical. What he does is it's full of magical moments that actually make you gasp because they're so beautiful. What he does is so beautiful. He makes it sound like he's got more than two hands. And he just does things that are so personal and incredible control of sound and incredible imagination. And yeah, just rush off and listen to it if you haven't heard it.
Okay, absolutely good advice. You yourself, do you have any technical struggles at the piano?
Oh, I think it, no, nobody finds playing the piano that easy, do they? I'm trying to think. It's tempting to say, oh no, there's nothing that I struggle with. I suppose if I had to narrow it down, octaves are somehow uncomfortable in my hand because my hand is on the large side, And if you've got, let's say you want to be have really good octaves, it's quite helpful if the hand is at its full stretch. So for me, an octave is not my full stretch. And so to keep the hand in that position and do, you know, big forearm octaves has always been a challenge for me. Yeah.
That is remarkable, because a lot of people, I'm sure, listening, most probably jealous of you for saying that it's so easy for you to overreach an octave, because a lot of pianists have got small hands and they find it very difficult to reach an octave. So, you know, that stretch can cause stress on the hand.
Yes. Well, there's problems on both sides. If your hand is too big, you can get stuck in between the black keys, or you can just generally find that your fingers are a bit too long or sausage-like to fit nicely on the keyboard. And similarly, if you've got a smaller hand, but some of the great pianists, Alicia de la Rocha, apparently had a very small hand, and you'd never know that from listening to the most phenomenal pianist.
You're absolutely right. Can you, with an octave, do a 1-1-3?
I wouldn't advise. No. I wouldn't advise. I don't know. We probably don't have time to talk about this, but what we want to avoid is twisting at the wrist. 1-3 is likely to twist at the wrist. So that's the number one thing to avoid. Otherwise, we get injured.
Fine. And last question here. What would be your advice to an amateur pianist about how to improve?
First thing is to understand, to appreciate the difference between playing something through an actual practice, because a lot of people, as I say, don't know how to practice. Have lessons, take lessons, find a teacher who in your area who's successful. You can do online lessons. I mean, I teach a lot of online lessons. You don't need special equipment. Go on piano courses. Research, you know, go on Pianist Magazine's YouTube channel, and there's tons of wonderful stuff on there. So, you know,
yeah,
that would be my recommendation. Learn how to practice.
Very good, very good. Well, I think we've almost come to the end. I know that was a quick half an hour. But tell us what you're up to. Obviously, when this comes out, I reckon we're talking summer 2025, you will be doing a lot of your courses.
Yes, well, I will be doing the Stowe course at the Summer School for Pianists, at which I shall be performing Winterreise by Schubert, and tutoring my wonderful group of people and just being involved in the Stowe piano family. I'm also wrapping up writing a book for OUP, Oxford University Press, on practice method, with a co-author, Professor Adina Mornell. We're collaborating together on that. What else? I'm planning to take a little holiday at some point. But I do love my work, and each week is slightly different from the next. And so, you know, I keep busy.
Yeah, well, you seem like a very happy, positive person every time I see you or speak to you. So it obviously, your life is doing well with what you've chosen to do.
Well, I feel very blessed doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, very absolutely.
Blessed. Yeah.
Oh, Graham, well, it's been wonderful speaking to you. I think it's a lovely time now for us to stop.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. I've enjoyed chatting as well. And yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. And listeners, you know, get out there, search Graham. He's done so many wonderful videos for Pianist Magazine, and search out his courses and his online academy. There's a lot there for you to go and research so you can improve. That was an excerpt from Czerny's Variations on a Theme by Rode, and it was played by Graham Fitch. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way to support what we do is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine. And don't forget to sign up to our newsletter, which is full of extra playing tips and useful info. Go to pianistmagazine.com to find out how to sign up.